Psalm 51, verse number 16, the Bible says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." I want to preach for a little while on this subject, sinfully substituting sacrifices. And of course, in the Old Testament, there were the animal sacrifices, and then we might think about in our day, the sacrifices, monetary sacrifices, sacrifices of time and effort, the sacrifice of the fruit of our lips, the praise of our God. And so there are a variety of sacrifices that a person may give, and yet let us not be careful to try to substitute sacrifice for obedience. You and I are to be obedient unto the Lord, and if God tells us to sacrifice, we are to do that, but we are to be obedient to the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 15, and verse number 22, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Now I want to go through some things that I covered this morning and move on to the next point, or the point that I started earlier. We might consider that excellent sacrifices, such as that which Abel gave, excellent sacrifices are sacrifices that are given in obedience to God, obedience to the Word of God, the Spirit, moving of the Spirit of God, and of course they are given in faith, trusting in God. There are two errors that we might consider. The sacrificer giving unto God what he wants God to have instead of giving unto God what God demands from him. And sometimes people may think they can just give God something and that'll satisfy him, but that is not the fact. Then number two, the sacrificer is delinquent in sacrificing. Sometimes a sacrificer may be holding on to something that he ought to give to God, that God is demanding from him, yet he may continue to cling to that thing. I dealt earlier with this subject of sacrifice without separation is not sanctification. We might think about a person that is sacrificing and yet at the same time not separated from this world unto God, and is not sanctified. And a person can give much in a variety of different ways, a variety of different kinds of gifts to God, and still not be right with God, not be sanctified. I thought about, of course, many of you may be familiar with the book, Through Gates of Splendor, and be familiar with the fact that Mr. Jim Elliott died on the mission field. But I was dealing with this subject earlier. Sacrifice does not sanctify disobedience. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of detail, but if you look into the lives of he and his wife, I think there are a number of things that cause us to question. I think that we might say he was a forerunner of those that had the attitude of trying to win the world by being like the world. She was an Episcopalian, which is near kin to a Catholic. And then on top of that, she was an ecumenicalist. I came across a statement a while back that was attributed to her. And being an Episcopalian, I can see her believing this. And the idea was that when a person accepts Jesus Christ, he has the power to become a child of God, but he does not become a child of God immediately. It seems as though there was an idea of some works for salvation. She was on the board of the committee for the NIV. And so there are a number of things that might cause us to question them. And of course, just because a person makes a great sacrifice, that doesn't sanctify everything that they have done. Doesn't mean everything that they did was wrong either. But still, it doesn't sanctify all that they have done. Now, I want you to consider this. The second point that I had, and by the way, let me go back and touch on this. It came up in conversation, but when the Bible talks about Saul, King Saul, and of course there was to have been the destruction of the Amalekites, it is interesting that King Saul and his men did not save the babies and the infants, And so I don't believe it was an act of compassion that they saved the animals, but instead I believe it was an act of greed. And there was stubbornness and rebellion in the fact that they kept those animals and instead of doing what God had said. Now, I started into the second point, number two, sinful is substituting sacrifices for a broken spirit. In Psalm 51, and beginning with verse number 14, the Bible says there, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou deliverest or desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, of course, that was a time in which there were the giving of animal sacrifices, and King David might have been able to fill the brazen altar to overflowing with animal sacrifices repeatedly, but that was not what God wanted from him. What God wanted from him was a broken and a contrite spirit. What God wanted was a repentant attitude. And sometimes a sinner may, instead of repenting, instead of having a broken and contrite spirit, he may want to give some sacrifice. He may want to do some service. And he may think that by doing that service or giving that sacrifice, that certainly that will please God. When God calls for a man to repent, whether it be a man that is lost and needs to be saved, needs to repent and believe on Jesus Christ, or whether it be a saved man that needs to repent of some sin that he's committed, there is no sacrifice, no physical, no material sacrifice that can take the place of that repentance. There's nothing God will take for a substitute for that. A man is to obey God, repenting from sin, and putting his trust in the Lord. And so, sinfully substituting sacrifices for a broken spirit. One error that the sacrificer may make is thinking that God can be bribed, or that God's thinking will change if he gives a big enough sacrifice unto God. Now, of course, if you're dealing with men, that might be the truth. If you're dealing with a human judge, an unjust judge, there is a possibility that if you give the judge enough money, it'll change his mind. But that is not the case with a judge of judges, with God himself. It is the fact that just because you make a sacrifice, just because you give a gift unto God, it does not mean that God is going to change. God is not going to change because you do something that you think is special for God. The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 8, "And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous." And of course, when it comes to men, a gift may cause a man's eyes to be blind to the truth, and it may cause his judgment to be perverted, but not so with God. God will not change. When God demands repentance from a man, repentance is all that he'll take. Only repentance. And so, we might think about that sinfully substituting sacrifices for a broken spirit for repentance. Then number three, sinfully substituting sacrifices for the love of God and the love of your neighbor. Now, of course, you and I are to love God, to love our neighbor. In fact, we might think about those two commandments that Jesus Christ spoke about, and the law, as it might be said, could be condensed down, the heart of the law is, could be condensed down to those two commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Then we can expand and go to the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, there's a section that deals with our what we're to do in relationship with God, and things that we're to do in relationship with men. And then even further in the law, of course, there were other commandments given that expanded more upon the demands of God upon men. But we are not to try to substitute some sacrifices for the love of God and the love of a neighbor. Look, if you will, in the book of Mark, chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12, and beginning with verse number 28. In Mark chapter number 12, and beginning with verse number 28, the scripture says there, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, he told the truth there. To do those two things, as you should, is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Then verse number 34. "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." Now, if one loves the Lord, loves his neighbor as he should, then God will guide him as far as sacrifices that he is to make for the Lord. God can guide him as far as things that he should do for the Lord in service. God can guide him. And so a man needs to come to that point where he loves the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind, and loves his neighbor as himself. But sometimes people may realize, in fact, you might recall the case, Luke chapter number 10, I believe it is, and the Lord spoke about loving one's neighbor, and a lawyer tried to justify himself. And a person may sometimes hear the great demands of God and try to justify himself, and sometimes a man may try to make some kind of a sacrifice, thinking, well, that'll make God happy. If I can just give God something, and perhaps give God something that is precious to me, that will certainly make God happy. Well, nothing's going to take the place of fulfilling the will of God in these areas. No sacrifice will take the place of obedience. And to be obedient to the Lord, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. There are no substitutes for that. You just do what God said. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I came across a story some time ago. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it's a story about a knight. And according to the story, the knight had a fine horse. He had magnificent armor. He had gold-lined pockets. And there was a leprous beggar that asked him for help. And he, with an attitude of loathing toward the leprous beggar, cast a piece of gold. But the leprous beggar left it there and spoke as though the crust of a poor man would have been better. Well, after leaving the gold behind, and the knight had gone on his way. Years later, he returned. He was older. He was tired, and he was brokenhearted, and he came to the door of his own castle. He knocked on the door, but he was refused entrance. And out there on that cold and snowy night, as he turned away from his door, that same leprous beggar was there. And that same leprous beggar asked him for help. And the night divided with him, shared with him a crust of bread. Now, in that case, of course, that poor beggar accepted the gift where he had spurned the gift of gold. If you go to God with a right heart attitude, if you go to God, loving your neighbor as yourself, following the guidance of God, your sacrifice may not be all that great in the eyes of men, but it'll be acceptable. Yet on the other hand, you can give the finest, you can give the golden offerings, you can give great things to God, and they not be acceptable to God because of your attitude. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I think sometimes people put much too much emphasis on the sacrifice and much too little emphasis upon obedience unto the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, verses 23 and 24, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." A person ought not think just because he brings his gift to the altar, so to speak, that even though he's got something, he's not right with a brother, that if he gives a big enough gift, God will just overlook the problem that he has with his brother. Well, that's not the case. The instruction that Jesus gave was to leave the gift behind and to go to the brother. It is so important for us to fulfill the things that God has said concerning our relationship with God, our relationship with others, our neighbors, as it might be said. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Just because you bring a big offering doesn't mean God's going to overlook the fact that you're not right with someone or you are not right with Him. It is so important that we have our hearts right with God and our hearts right with our brethren so that we can receive the guidance that we need in giving sacrifices unto God. Then number 4, sinfully substituting sacrifices for mercy toward men. Sometimes people may think that they can go around in life being proud and treating people wrongly and being self-righteous and not realize that they are not acceptable to God, but they may think if they write a big check, if they do a great work, if they make a great sacrifice, that somehow that makes them acceptable before God. Hosea chapter number 6 and verse number 6 says this, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice." And by the way, these scriptures from the Old Testament are so significant in that it was a time in which people did give these kinds of offerings, and yet the Lord said here, "I desired mercy and not sacrifice." In Micah chapter number 6, verses 6 through 8, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Then He gives the answer. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Now, think of a man asking, how can I stand before God? How can I have that relationship with God that I'm desiring? And thinking about great offerings that could be given. No, he was to be obedient. He was to do just what God said. As simple as it might have seemed, he was to do what God said in obedience to the Word of God. He was to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with his God. If you will, go to another passage, Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. In the book of Matthew, in chapter number 9, and beginning with verse number 10. I believe that the Pharisees, I believe that Jews of Jesus' day, many of them had a problem that some people have today, placing sacrifice above obedience, thinking that that is what is going to please God. Notice, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 9 and beginning with verse number 10. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And notice these words in verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If the Pharisees had understood what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, then I think they could have understood why Jesus Christ ate with publicans and sinners. But I believe that many of the Pharisees put so much emphasis on sacrifice as though that is the important thing, to do sacrifice. The important thing was obedience. And God wanted mercy. God wanted men to show mercy to men. And in this case, here we have these that were of no help to the sinners because they didn't realize, they didn't know, they were not living in accordance with this of showing mercy to sinners. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, the sinless Son of God, came to help sinners, came to lead sinners to repentance. And therefore, he ate with publicans and sinners. There are many in his day, I believe, that did not understand what that meant. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Now, if you will, let's look at another passage. Matthew chapter number 12. In Matthew chapter number 12, and let's look beginning with verse number 1. At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered, and began to pluck ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, if you will, go down to verse number 7. But if ye had known, these are the words of Jesus Christ, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. Who were the guiltless? The guiltless were the disciples that were going along plucking the ears of corn to eat. They were hungry. How can you get much more simple when it comes to food preparation than picking the corn. And as far as the word corn, we might think about it encompassing wheat, for instance. And so disciples may have been going along picking up heads of wheat, perhaps rubbing them in their hands to get the chaff away, getting down to some basic grain, and that being their food preparation on the Sabbath day to eat. Now, you can't get much more basic than that. And yet, these Pharisees condemned the guiltless. They were wrong in their condemnation of the disciples of Jesus Christ and what they did. Now, if they had understood what the Bible said, what Jesus quoted in verse number 7, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," they would not have condemned the guiltless. Jesus said, "But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless." Now the Pharisees put an emphasis on sacrifice, sacrifice. It's not just back then, it's today as well. And I realize, you don't see people taking animals to an altar in our day. But in our day, you still have people that feel as though if I make that sacrifice, I'll be right with God. While at the same time, they're ignoring the commandments of God and refusing to obey God. And one of the things that this can lead to is the condemning of the guiltless. If they had been the students of the Scripture, they should have been. And if they'd had the understanding of this basic principle, then they would have avoided condemning the disciples of Christ when they were really not doing wrong. Then I want you to consider this. Substituting sacrifice for the knowledge of God. I gave you the first part of Hosea chapter number 6 and verse number 6, but I want to go on, if I give you the whole verse, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice." That's the portion I gave you earlier. But then the Bible says, after the semicolon, "And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Philippians 3:10, "that I may know Him." A person may put more emphasis on sacrifice, whatever kind it is. It might be he thinks of giving of money. It might be he thinks about the giving of time or effort. He may think about being part of some praise band and where he is giving of a service unto the Lord. Doesn't matter what kind of sacrifice it is. But many a time I believe people put more of an emphasis on sacrifice than they do on knowing God. Knowing God. How important is it to you to know God? To really know God? To know Jesus Christ? Why is it that a person would put more emphasis upon his gift, his sacrifice to God, than he would on knowing God? Well, let's consider this, and let me go back to the Scripture that I read from earlier. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." Notice those words. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And it goes and it says, "my Lord," and then "that I may know Him." Here's what I think can happen sometimes, is a person thinks that his sacrifice is so precious, and his sacrifice is so valuable, and at the same time he thinks so little of the importance of knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, that he thinks his sacrifice is really more important than knowing God. It is so important for you and I to walk with God, to know God. There is that excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. What an excellent thing it is to know Him. It is more excellent than you giving some service to God. And if you know the Lord, you know Jesus Christ, then you can follow the guidance of the Lord as far as what you ought to do in service and in sacrifice. And then I want you to consider this. Sinfully substituting sacrifice for Jesus Christ in order to gain salvation. Sometimes people may think, well, if I just give, I give this to God, if I give enough, if I do enough, that'll make God satisfied. And at the same time, they're rejecting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Let me go back to Psalm 40. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 40, and notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 6. There the Bible says, sacrifice an offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, or in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, who does that refer to? It refers to Jesus Christ. You look in the book of Hebrews, and I think that may help you. If you don't see that by looking in Psalm 40, I believe it refers to Jesus Christ. And think about Jesus Christ saying these words, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. And saying as well, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. All the sacrifices that men gave over the years were not sufficient. Nothing could pay for the sins of men. No gifts, no monetary gifts, no blood sacrifices, nothing that man had done up to that point paid for the sins of sinners. And the only sacrifice that was sufficient was Jesus Christ dying on a cross. Jesus Christ paid the full price. That was the sufficient and the only sufficient and the all-sufficient sacrifice. Amen. Now, If people even began to comprehend a comparison of some sacrifice that they have, monetary, service, whatever it is, if people would begin to comprehend the great contrast between giving something that you have to God or something that you do to God, or accepting Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. How do you compare the two? You give a $20 bill, is that going to make God happy? If you go ahead and dig even deeper, if you're able to come up with a massive sum of money, how does that compare to Christ? It doesn't even come close to the value of the all-sufficient Savior. Amen. But down through the years, let me go back to where I started earlier, fairly close to the beginning of the message. I dealt with Cain. Abel gave an excellent sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice, because Abel gave in accordance with the Word of God. Abel gave in faith. Abel gave what God wanted. Cain tried to give God what he wanted God to have. Now here, those were the first two born upon this earth. The first two sons we have a record of in the Scriptures. Those two, and already there's that division. One giving what God wants and what God demands. and the other giving God what he wants God to have, and stubbornly refusing to repent. There are Cains all around us. There's many a Cain in this community that has refused to accept the offering of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, and instead has tried to give God something that he doesn't even want. Sinfully substituting sacrifices. When you know what God wants you to do, don't try to give him an offering. Don't try to give him some money. Don't try to give him some service. Don't try to give him anything but what he wants. For the man that is lost and on his way to hell, what God wants is for him to turn from sin to Christ, accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then for somebody that is saved by the grace of God, what God wants from that individual is the fact that he obeys God. He obeys God. And God can lead him as far as any sacrifice he needs to make, but God wants obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If we get this right, it can help us in so many ways. If we get this right, it can help us have the right view of Christ compared to the things that a person may give. It can help us have the right view towards sinners. Jesus Christ ate with publicans and sinners, but there was a reason. He came to save publicans and sinners. It can help us to have that right attitude about a relationship with people of this world. It can help us to have the right attitude toward other people. When we see them doing something and we've got this feeling that they're not doing right, well, what did God say? And don't be wrongly condemning the guiltless. What does God say? If we get a hold of this idea that we are to give God what He wants, it's not the sacrifices that are be prominent. We are to give God what He wants. And He'll be satisfied when you give Him what He wants. You sin like David did, what does he want? A broken and contrite spirit. Forget about trying to bring a big gift to the offering. He wants a broken and a contrite spirit. I think in our day there's too much emphasis placed on sacrifice. Sacrifice is part of holy living. I know that. But it is not to be placed above obedience to God. If a person doesn't get this right, if a person doesn't give God what he wants, but instead tries to give God what he wants to have, in the case of a lost person, it can cost him his soul forever because of his rejection of Christ. Sinfully substituting sacrifices. If you will, please stand. I'll ask Adam.